Hey, welcome to the Cornerstone Church Podcast, one of the many places that we love to declare Jesus.
We see you in your life living a life of resilient faith for all of your days, and we believe that listening to this message is going to be part of strengthening your faith journey.
Enjoy the message.
Our core scripture for this has been Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, and it is the proof of what is not seen." Come on, are there any people who have some things that they're hoping for still today? Any people who have some things that are not yet seen that they're believing are gonna come into your scene? I'm believing for it with you this morning as we continue in our series on reality. One of the things about faith is that there is such a forward focus to faith. So much of faith has to do with what is not yet here. It has to do with what is still coming down the line. Activating my faith, living in my faith, accessing my faith is difficult to do when I'm living in the past, when I'm living in what could have been or what should have been, or looking back to what I wish that I had done differently. All of us have lists of things that we go, if I had a chance to go back, I would do this differently. And if I could have that conversation again, there's a way that I could have it that I think maybe would be better for its eventual outcome. All of us have moments in our life that if we think back on them, we go, I wish that that could have been different. But faith doesn't live in the what could have been. Faith has a forward focus to it, that there is something in the future of what's coming, that there's something in the ahead of what is yet coming. There's an aspect of faith that requires me to access my foresight, but not just a foresight that comes naturally to me. See, foresight is my ability to look down the line and see what's coming ahead of time. Foresight, is an outcome and an output of wisdom in my life. Wisdom knowing how to rightly apply knowledge and when to rightly apply knowledge. Foresight is an output of wisdom in my life, that I can look and see what will happen next, that I can look and see the likely predictable outcomes that are coming when certain decisions are made, when certain factors are right, when certain pieces come into play, that wisdom comes through me and allows me to look down the line. I think one of the easiest ways to access your foresight is it is lifetime movie season. And don't just look at me like the ladies are the only ones who like to watch the Lifetime movies. I see you guys. I see you fellas, and you're like, the air has turned crisp. It is time for some Lifetime movies. And Lifetime movies are where your foresight gets into peak play, because I am so sorry for that big city fiance when she's getting ready to go home and visit her family over the holiday weekend. Because guess who's not making it to the end of the movie? Big city fiance. She's got a high school boyfriend who just became a widow, and there's gonna be some twinkling lights over some hot cocoa, and they're gonna remember all the love that they once had. It is a predictable outcome. The characters may change and the scene may change, but the predictability of the outcome is solid. I know where this is going. And foresight in our lives allows us to detect the predictable outcomes of our life. And some of the hard situations that we walk through, some of the difficulties that we journey through could be avoided if we would just exercise a little bit of foresight. A little bit of accessing that thing that says there is a predictable outcome to where this is going. It is a predictable outcome that when y'all are hanging out late at night all by yourself week after week after week, that is not going to result in the holiness and glory of God. That is a predictable outcome. It is a predictable outcome that when you value other people's opinions over your character and integrity, you are going to put yourself in a position eventually that is compromising to who you set out to be. It is a predictable outcome. And we have to learn then to take wisdom and bring it into our here and our now, because wisdom and faith are not opposition to each other. They are not exclusive from each other. Wisdom and faith work hand in hand with each other. They take the ability to look into the future and see the predictable outcomes, and they mesh it together with my belief in a God who is more than able. And all of the sudden, the predictable outcomes of my life become enmeshed in the idea that there is a favorable outcome coming down the line. Faith and wisdom work hand in hand together. And there are seasons of my life where my faith seems obvious. Seasons and moments of my life where my faith seems strong, where my faith is apparent to others, where I have taken hold of the promises that God has for me, and I have held fast to them, and I have stood fast on them, and I have proclaimed his promises over my life with unyielding and unshaking and uncompromising, the kind of faith that stirs the faith of others around me, the kind of faith that says, I got a negative doctor's report, and I took it to my life group, and we prayed over it, and we believed over it, and God turned the situation around. And there are seasons of my life that don't always look like faith. There are seasons of my life that don't always feel like faith. That in the midst of what I'm walking through, it didn't always feel like, it didn't always look like I grabbed a hold of something and held on to it until it didn't look like I wasn't Abraham holding on to my promise with unyielding faith. It didn't look like in the moment that I was Isaac laying it all down on the altar. It didn't look like I was Jacob who wrestled with God until you will bless me. It looked like something different than faith. And today, I came with a message for everyone who goes, I don't know if this looks like faith, what I'm standing in the middle of. I don't know if this feels like faith, what I'm walking in the middle of. For everyone who over the last 5 weeks has been going, I don't know if that's what I have on the inside of me. I come and I hear the stories and I come and I see what God is doing. But when I look at what's going on around me, I don't know if that's how you felt over the last few weeks. I want you to know that today is for you. It's for faith that doesn't always look like faith, and faith that doesn't always feel like faith. We're going to continue in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, continuing on with our stories of those who are counted as people of faith, starting in chapter 11 and verse 23. It says, and by faith Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of Christ to be greater than wealth, than the treasures of Egypt. And since he was looking ahead to the reward, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger. For Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. And by faith they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. When the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your word that is living and active, that has truth for us for today. We speak that people's faith would be strengthened today, that the weary would be restored, that they would feel encouraged and lifted up to continue in your paths of righteousness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Moses, though he is not one of the fathers of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, until Jesus, Moses was considered to be the greatest that had ever lived of the people of God. Moses is the one who went and brought the children of Israel out of bondage and into freedom. Moses is the one who talked to God face to face. Moses is the one who wrote on the tablets, or had the tablets that were written on the Ten Commandments, not once but twice, because he broke the first set. Never forget that. God didn't let Moses forget it either. This is one of my favorite funny moments in the Bible. If you go and read it in Exodus, Moses comes down, he breaks the tablets because he's mad at the people. He goes back up and God says to him, because the other ones that I gave you, you broke those. Like, God's like, I didn't forget about the fact that you broke them. So we have to do this again. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, recorded for us Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is Moses. It makes sense that Moses would be counted in this great hall of faith when the writer of Hebrews begins to write down and to record the history of the people of God, to strengthen and encourage and remind us that this faith that we're part of didn't just start right here. It's been building and building and building, and that you have stepped into a lineage of faith that has been going on. It makes sense that Moses would be part of that. Moses is one of those Bible characters and Bible stories that even if you walked in here today and have not been raised in church and have not been around the things of God, it's likely that you have heard at least pieces of Moses' story. You've heard about some guy who split the Red Sea, or maybe a baby that got sent in a basket for some reason, about some plagues that came across Egypt. Moses' story is known, and the danger of us knowing Moses' story is that we have the benefit of looking at Moses' story in reverse. And when we look at Moses' story in reverse, we know the outcome before we begin at the beginning. We know that Moses is going to go to the mountaintop. We know the children of Israel are going to cross the Red Sea. We know that this story is headed in a certain direction because we've heard it so many times and we've read it so many times. And the benefit of knowing the story from the other side is that you see where this is going. But the detriment of knowing the story from the other side is that we often lose what it's like to be in the story in the moment. The thing about Moses' story, when you're in it in the moment, is that it doesn't always look like faith in the moment. I know you've heard it before, so when you read the faith that's in it. But when you go back to Exodus and you read through the story as it's laid out, this is Moses. It says that Moses was born, and when Moses was born, there was an edict throughout Egypt that any male babies who were born were to be terminated immediately because the Egyptians feared the strength of the people that they held in bondage that were rising up. And so it says that Jochebed, Moses' mother, gave birth to Moses, and she took him and she hid him for 3 months. This does not look like faith. She's hiding a baby in the corner of her house until the point that she can't hide the baby any longer. And when she can't hide the baby any longer, it says she takes him and puts him in a basket that she makes and places him in the reeds with maybe a hope that Pharaoh's daughter might. I've heard that she comes here sometimes. This doesn't look like faith. This looks like desperation. This looks like a last-ditch effort of a mother who doesn't know what else to do because she's been hiding a baby for 3 months and she didn't really have a thought about what am I going to do at the end of this 3 months. I just knew at the beginning of the 3 months, all I can do is hide it. And when it got too tough for me to hide him because he started making noise and he started moving around, I wasn't sure what else to do. So I made a basket and I put him in the basket and I placed the basket somewhere, hoping that maybe that would do something. It doesn't really look like faith in the moment. And Moses gets taken into Pharaoh's house. He gets raised by Pharaoh's daughter as one of the princes of Egypt. He is surrounded by all of the comfort and all of the luxury and all of the prestige that it means to be a son of Egypt. And he is raised in this way until it comes to a point where his identity begins to create conflict on the inside of him. Because Moses is of one people and raised by another. And this begins to grind on the inside of Moses. It creates confusion on the inside of Moses. It creates uncertainty on the inside of Moses. It creates instability at the foundation of who Moses is. And so what Moses does is he goes out one day and he sees one of the Egyptians, the people that he has been raised by, dealing harshly with one of the Israelites, the people that he is of. And this thing that has been in conflict on the inside of him snaps. And it says that he kills the Egyptian and tries to hide it. But bad news spreads quick, everywhere, always. Moses comes out later and everybody knows about the thing that Moses has done. And it says that word has gotten back to Pharaoh. And so Moses takes off running, fleeing from Pharaoh, once again in hiding. This does not look like faith. This does not feel like faith. Moses is now on the backside of a desert somewhere, nowhere to be found, and God comes and speaks to Moses in a burning bush that is on fire but yet is not consumed. He says, Moses, come here. Take your shoes off, for this is holy ground. Surely this is the moment where Moses' faith is going to rise up. Nope. Moses is having a conversation with God at the place of a burning bush that is on fire yet not consumed. And he questions God multiple times. God, are you sure it's you? God, how am I going to let other people know that it's you? And God's like, this is how you're going to let people know that it's you. I've chosen you, Moses. And Moses is like, no, probably not me, though. You need to find somebody else, God. Moses is questioning, arguing, and trying to persuade God that it should be someone else throughout the entire dialogue. This does not look like faith. This does not feel like faith. Where is the point where Moses stands up, rises up, and says, I heard God speak to me, and here I go. He goes back to Egypt to do all those plagues that we've read about. And I know you've watched movies where Moses goes and he speaks to Pharaoh, but read the text. It's not Moses. It's Aaron. Because Moses was so convinced that he couldn't do it that God said, fine. Go back and find your brother Aaron and have him go be the one who speaks. So God speaks to Moses. Moses speaks to Aaron. Aaron speaks to Pharaoh. This does not look like faith. Where is the faith in this moment? We finally come through the plagues and Pharaoh says, get out of here. And God begins to lead the children of Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and into the land that he has promised them. And it says, God goes, I can't lead them that way. I have to lead them by the way of the Red Sea. Otherwise, they might face some battles and turn back and want to go back to Egypt. Where is the faith? Where is the belief in the God of the impossible? We're standing now at the edge of the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies are coming for us. And the people say a line that I think is poetically brilliant, but faithfully fleeting. They say, were there no graves in Egypt? You had to bring us out here to die, Moses. God has just performed plague on plague, miracle on miracle, and brought them out of bondage. And they're out here like, I guess we're gonna die. Where is the faith? And then Moses says to the people, I think we miss this. Moses says to the people, just be still. God is gonna fight for us. It's a scripture that we love to quote. Only be still, the Lord will fight for you. But keep reading, because then Moses goes and speaks to God, and God says, tell the people to pack up all their stuff and get moving forward. Where is the faith? What is happening? This doesn't look like faith, and it doesn't feel like faith. It feels like at every turn and at every moment, we are not standing in faith. We're just doing the next thing that's in front of us. This is the story of Moses. Because by the time the writer of Hebrews gets to it, the writer of Hebrews has the benefit of looking at the story in reverse. The writer of Hebrews has the benefit not of being the one in the midst of the story, not in being in the middle of going, I'm just trying to make the next step that I know how to make. The writer of Hebrews has the benefit of seeing how all of the pieces played together and all of the parts were weaving together. The writer of Hebrews has the benefit of understanding that Moses had to be raised in Pharaoh's house to understand certain protocols about the way that Pharaoh operated, and he had to flee and be out in Midian and meet Zipporah and be raised in that house to learn how to handle and how to become a shepherd and a leader of people. He needed a desert wilderness experience to encounter God, that it was the uncertainty and the humility of Moses that made him able to go and stand before God and not be consumed by it. The writer of Hebrews has the benefit of looking at the story in reverse. And when you look at the story in reverse, you can see how the pieces are laying together. But when you're in the midst of it, sometimes faith looks like marching up a mountain, no sacrifice in hand, and saying to the servants, we will return to you. But sometimes faith looks like I don't know what else to do. It doesn't feel like faith in the moment. And it doesn't look like faith in the moment. It just looks like I didn't know what else to do but to take this baby and to hide it until I didn't have anything else to do. And when I couldn't do that anymore, I sent it out somewhere and I just prayed God. It didn't feel like faith. It just felt like a desperate act. Sometimes faith feels like I didn't know what to do. I just knew that my identity couldn't be called what I wasn't anymore. I just knew that I wasn't who they were claiming that I was, and I didn't know what to do. So I just ran from those fleeting pleasures. I just ran from the thing. Come on, Joseph. I just ran out of that room and it didn't feel like I took a stand for faith. And it didn't feel like I took a moment to believe in God. It felt like I was just running in the moment because it didn't look like faith. Sometimes faith only looks like faith when I have the benefit, not of my foresight believing that God is able, but when I have the benefit of my hindsight looking back and saying, look at all that God has done for me. Look at the ways that he worked it out. Look at the ways that he made a way when there was no way. Look at the ways that he kept me even when I didn't know he was keeping me. Sometimes my faith is forward focused, but sometimes in the middle of the moment, I don't know where my faith is. Sometimes in the middle of the moment, it doesn't feel like any kind of faith. Sometimes in the middle of the moment, it doesn't look like any kind of faith. It just looks like I couldn't see another way out. So I just kept stepping forward in faith. I just kept walking forward in faith. I just kept moving. I came to preach to somebody today who said, I feel like it doesn't feel like I'm living a life of faith. I don't know that I'm standing on his promises. I don't know that I'm holding fast to everything that he's ever spoken to me. I don't know what's going on in my life, and I don't know where I'm moving in my life, but the one thing that I want you to know is it might not look like it in the moment, but when you get the benefit of a little bit of hindsight, you'll be able to look back and say, look how God has brought me through. Look how God has walked me through. Look how God made a way where it didn't look like it. God was walking with me every step of the way. God was moving with me every path along the way. When I was in the middle of a sickness, it didn't look like I felt the faith that I felt. When my budget wasn't coming together in the way that I thought it should, it didn't feel like I had faith in the midst of it. When I was raising those kids, it didn't always feel like I had faith in the midst of the moment. When I planted my business and the economy shifted, it didn't always feel like I had faith in my desperate cries in the middle of the night. It didn't always feel like faith. But when you look back at what God can do, sometimes you just need a little bit of a hindsight faith. Sometimes you just need a little bit of a faith that can look back and say that God was with me through it all. God is more than able. He is more than able. I want you to know that he is more than able. Today is for every person who feels like I'm standing in the middle of it and I'm not sure what God is doing. I'm standing in the midst of a desert season and I can't find God. I'm standing in the middle of a questioning season and it doesn't feel like faith. And I come in every single week. And when I come in every single week, I hear stories of God's faithfulness. And I hear people tell me how they're standing on the mountaintop talking face to face with God. And I come in and I hear people say how they're holding on to their promises. And I go to group and people are speaking their scriptures over the word that God gave them and they're holding steadfast until the end. And when I go home at night, I'm like, God, it doesn't feel like faith over here. It feels feels like I don't have anything left to do. It feels like I'm desperate. It feels like I'm at the end of my road. It feels like I'm unsure. And it feels like I'm uncertain. Today is for you. God told me to come and tell you that He will never leave you or forsake you. That He is the God who walks with you in the midst of it. That He is the God who is faithful in every moment. That He is the God who is steady. That He is the God who is steadfast. That He is the God who saw you when you didn't know what else to do. So you just crouched down in the corner of your own room and said, God, I don't know where to go now. And God, I don't know what else to do now. God, this doesn't feel like the faith that I thought you were promising me. God, I want to be one of those ones who stands up and say, God called me and God formed me and God knew me. But what I feel like right now is someone hiding in the corner of my room. What I feel like right now is somebody just running as hard and as fast as I know how I can from who I used to be, God. And I thought faith was standing, and I thought faith was proclaiming, and I thought faith was speaking of your faithfulness, but I'm just running from who I used to be, God. God told me to come to you today and tell you, just watch and see what He will do. Keep walking in His paths of righteousness. Keep walking in the land of the living. Keep stepping step after step. Keep walking moment after moment, because it might not look like it right now, and it might not feel like it right now. It might not be the picture of faith that you thought you had. It might not be the declaration of faith that you wish that you had. But if you will keep moving, I promise you that in a little while, the one who is always faithful, the one who makes good on every word that He has ever said, will make His word good to you. And when you get the benefit of a little bit of hindsight, when you get the benefit of a little bit of time and space, when you get the benefit of a little bit of distance from this moment, you'll be able to look back on what God's been working in your life and say, it was by faith that she hid that baby in that room. It was by faith that she put that baby in that river. It was by faith that Moses refused to be called what he wasn't and tempted by the feelings of comfort and sin. It was by faith that he came and instituted the Passover. And it was by faith that they stood at that sea and God split it open and they walked through on dry land. It doesn't feel like it right now, but I promise you, when you look back, when they tell your story, when they write your story, when they look at this season of your life, when they look at the moment you're standing in right now, they're gonna look back over it and say, it was by faith that God brought you out, by faith that He made a way, by faith that your money started making sense, by faith that your children raised their hands in the house of God. It was by faith that your marriage made it to the other side, by faith that that business multiplied, by faith that you kept your right mind, by faith that you found your soul dancing and rejoicing in the house of the Lord, by faith that your table was full, by faith that your feet were steady, by faith that your body kept working, by faith that the cancer dried up, by faith that you lived long. By faith is gonna be your story. It might not feel like it now. It might not feel like it now. It might not look like it now. It might not seem like it in the moment, but just give it a little more time. Just give it a little bit of hindsight. Just give it a little bit of hour. And when somebody tells your story, it's gonna be faith that brought you through. Faith that brought you through. Faith that brought you through. Because He who promised is faithful. Is faithful. He who promised is faithful. Oh, I want you to know that He's with you in the midst of the darkest hour. He's with you in the midst of the heaviness. He's with you. He's with you. And he's for you. Jesus. 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 You just have to keep walking. You just have to keep moving. It says about Moses that the thing that kept him forward focused was his ability to see. It says he looked forward and he counted suffering with Christ to be the greater reward. Moses, implementing the law, looked forward to Christ, and it kept him moving forward. It kept him in the midst of his aching. It kept him in the back of a desert. It kept him confronting the man that had raised him. It kept him leading the people he was called to. It kept him going up to the top of the mountain. It kept him in the middle of the tent, worshiping before the Lord. It kept him when everything was turning. It kept him when they turned against him. It kept him when they lied on him. It kept him when people were lost to him. It kept him. It kept him because he looked forward to the reward of being with Christ. That's the thing that keeps you. That's the thing that keeps us. It didn't say that the miracles kept him, though he saw miracles. It didn't say that the people kept him, though he was surrounded by people. It didn't say that his lineage kept him, though he came from two Levites' houses. It said that the thing that kept him was that he looked forward and he saw Christ. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we want to dwell with you. Jesus, we want to be with you. You are our one reward. You are our everlasting hope. There's nothing, nothing greater than you. There's nothing better than you, God. Come on, if you're in the room and you say, that's for me, it feels like my hope is waning. It feels like my faith is waning. It feels like I'm in the midst and I'm uncertain. Will you just lift your hands as I pray this prayer over you today? Come on, because God wants you to know that he's with you in the middle of it. That he's with you in the middle of it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're moving. You're all we want, God. Jesus, Jesus. Can we get ready to do that bridge of graves into gardens when I'm done praying? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you. Just keep those hands lifted. Spirit of God is moving in this place today. Thank you, God. I thank you that you've come here to meet your people. God, we speak over every weary heart, over every heavy heart. We speak right now that your spirit is moving, that your spirit is strengthening. I thank you that you are the God who comes, the God who leaves the 99 to come and find the one. And you came for these today. You came to strengthen them. You came to encourage them. I thank you that you're the lifter of heavy burdens, that you come to the weary soul. And we speak over you right now. I speak to that voice of shame that tells you that your faith isn't good enough because it doesn't look like someone else's. I speak to that accusation of the enemy that says that you're not doing it right because it doesn't look like somebody else's. And I declare that every lie from the enemy be sent back to the pit of hell right now from where it came, and that the truth of God would rise in your life, that his voice would be in your ear, that his voice would be in your mind, that he would minister to your heart, that he would minister to your weary soul and say that you are his beloved, that your heart would be after him, that your heart would yearn for him, that you would cry, God, you're all that I want. You're the place I want to be. You're the one I want to be with. You're the one I want to run to. God, give me a vision. Give us a vision for who you are, God. Let our hearts be set that you are our great reward. Let our hearts be set that you're the one we're running after, God. Let everything else fall to the side, and let the thing that keeps us and that keeps us moving forward be who you are. I speak to these right now that a fresh wind of God is flowing over them. It's moving in this place. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Church.